only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. Thank you.
authority. Every victory is yours.
It's yours, Lord. Hallelujah.
All authority. Every victory is yours.
All authority. Every victory is yours. All authority. Every victory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, as we come into this place, Lord, we recognize the moving of the Holy Spirit. We recognize you, Holy Spirit, that you want to do great things today. We come under the leadership and the authority of King Jesus. We submit ourselves under that authority because Jesus told us in Matthew 28, all authority has been given through him to us. So we thank you today, Lord God, that in that authority, in that very power, the power of the name of Jesus, things must come into be. So we thank you, Lord, for the victories that are happening in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the overcoming power through the name of Jesus. God, there's many here today that are waiting for those answers to prayer. We thank you, Lord God, as we submit to the authority and the power and the glorious and mighty name of Jesus. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're going to happen, Lord, because we trust in you. We're walking with you because we're walking in the light as you are in the light. You are light, God. We want to dwell in that light. We want to exist in that light. That's the greatest place for us in existence, Lord God. We dwell long enough in the darkness, Lord. We live long enough in the darkness. We want to walk in the light, Lord. We want to live in the light. And the light says to us that all authority, all victory, all power is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a different way of life, Lord. And so thank you for changing us. Thank you for changing us, changing our mind, Lord, changing our speech, changing our mindset. God, we're a new creation in you, Lord. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you laid down your life for each and every one of us, Lord, so that we would have newness of life. We're a new creation, born again. We're all creatures born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you today, Lord. God, we've got so much to praise you for, so much to worship you for, Lord. God, we thank you. We're grateful today, Lord. Let every church across the land of Canada be grateful today, Lord. You have done so much for us, Lord. We submit to the authority of King Jesus. Even though, Lord, we have leaders over us, I'm still reminded, Lord, that we're in a nation, Lord, that desperately needs the hand of God to move. Desperately needs the hand of God to move. Seems so many rules and regulations are coming against us as Christians. So much is coming against the church, Lord. So much against your word, Lord. So we stand up and, oh God, we proclaim the word. We will not be moved. We will not be shaken. We're like a tree that's planted by the water. We believe in King Jesus. We won't go to the left nor to the right. We'll stand with him. We'll stand with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we'll stand with you even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. God, we don't want to be hurt. I know at times we're pampered in our flesh, but God, sometimes this gospel, if we stand for it, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt our loved ones, our family members, people around us. So I thank you today, Lord, that we will stand. God, if we hurt somebody in our family, God, we don't want to do that, but we never want to hurt you. We will never refrain from talking about you, Lord. We'll never stop talking about King Jesus. Oh, God, just like Peter, when the authorities told him, just go out there and stop talking about this name. He said, I can't but anything but speak in the name of Jesus. My mind and my heart and my lips are all sold out for him. I can't do anything else but speak about Jesus. So this morning, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for church. It's so good to have church today, Lord. Be with those who are on vacation, those who are traveling, those who aren't with us today, Lord. Be with them, Lord. But all of us have gathered today because we want to hear from heaven. We want to know deeper life in you, Lord. We want to be grateful for all the blessings that we have in you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, move now as we open your word. We're asking for a pouring out, pouring out. Let us listen carefully, Lord. Let us hear the voice of the Master calling us, speaking to us, teaching us, showing us all these things. And we will promise to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For we ask all these things in the glorious and the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome to church this morning. I see a few more pews have been vacated. Good to have Pierre and Loretta back. Good to have Brother Rivette with us today all the way from Windsor. Hallelujah. Good to have you here. And every one of you here this morning, all visitors and everybody with us, we just want to know about Jesus. Amen? Just want to know more about him. You know, I always look at the summertime as a pastor in the months of, especially from July and August, it's like a relay race. You know, it's like, you know, somebody's getting ready to take off and you're just ready to take the baton and head out somewhere else. And you folks have a good, safe time as you drive across Canada. And we'll miss you while you're gone, but be safe. Amen. And be in the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we have, I heard this week that there's an anniversary. Oh, well, you told me. You tell a pastor, I've got to speak it. 40 years for Lyndon Miles today. Hallelujah. Amen. How'd you do it? Shaking your head. Don't know. Amen. 47, you and John celebrated this last week. Amen. Wow. How'd you do it? I think there's two there. Amen. Praise God. Good to celebrate all those good days. Amen. And Debbie, you've got a birthday gift. Have you got it with you?
Amen.
She's got a Bible like mine. So you can turn with me to page... where's the page number on here? Oh, man. They don't have any page number. No, I'm just kidding. 840. You can turn with me to 840. They've got it over in the middle here. Usually they look on the bottom or the top, but it's in the middle. Amen. Oh, and look at that. Betty's got a Bible like that now, too. Wow. Super giant print. Whoa. Hallelujah. They were on sale. That's why they've got them. Good Bible. Big print. I like big print. I don't know about you, but I like big print. Amen. Praise God. Welcome to church. Good to have you here today. I was thinking, here's a good prayer for us to pray. Lord Jesus, let me find you in a deeper, more experiential way today. Thank you. Amen. Basic prayer, but something you say, God, I want to go deeper. I want to experience you more and more in my life. It's all we need to pray. You know, we don't have to wax eloquent and say big words and be long in prayer and everything else. Just say the basic stuff, what you need. Just get it across to him. I want to go deeper. Jesus, would you take me there? Help me. Give me more experiences to take me into that deeper experience in you. Amen. Well, we're in Psalm 34. And as I said, it's page 840. Have you got that, Betty? Debbie? Different page number for you? Go on. You're not an 840? Psalm 34, page 840. Amen. So far, 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 1 to 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. And I trust that that's something that we're learning more and more in our lives as we walk for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will find that deep part of our lives in him. And we want to encourage you today, just to let you know, I'm in a couple of books this summer. Already finished Spread the Fire. Are you reading Spread the Fire right now, Betty, or are you on another one? And I'm into another one, Catch the Wind of the Spirit. I like Pentecostal writers. You know, there's... A lot of good Baptist people out there, a lot of good Episcopalians, a lot of good different organizations, but I like people who are Spirit-filled and they write a book. Did you know that the way you are in your experiences, the way you write, is what you will put across in writing? If you're an author, that's the way you'll be. And if somebody believes that, you know, the Holy Ghost baptism was for the early New Testament church, is no longer for today, do you know what will come across in their writing? Is exactly that fact. And they will get across the fact that, you know, Holy Spirit is not for today, and that same giftings of the Holy Spirit. So I want to make sure that I read people who believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit for today. I don't believe for a moment that God ever turned off his tap. When he turns on the tap, he lets it gush. He wants to pour out the rain upon us. And I believe that when he poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Acts, he didn't say for a couple of generations after, "That's it." He gave the Holy Spirit to us as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to understand that that's where we should be, believing in the Word of God. You know, if somebody tells you, well, parts of the Word of God aren't for today and this is that, you know, and everything else, don't believe them, okay? The Word of God was for yesterday, today, forever. That's the way our Savior is. He never changes. He's always the same. So anyway, I just put them up there for you. Carolyn Tennant has been a teacher in a couple of the Assemblies of God universities and colleges in the United States. She has got a real unique sense on the five ministry gifts that a lot of times we think that it's just the pastor, teacher, apostle, prophet, and apostle, all those ones who've got the gift and nobody else. But she goes into demonstrating the Word of God that the fivefold gifting should be an operation in the church, fivefold ministry gifts, not just in the pulpit, but in the pews. And sometimes we lose out because we're thinking, well, go ahead, pastor, you do it, you do it, you do it, you do it. And while we're out there, we're going stale in our faith, getting bored in our faith because we're not exercising what God has given us. And when Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the good news, he just didn't say that to pastors. He said to everybody. And so we need the gifting of the Holy Spirit. We need the deep walk in the Holy Spirit. So, amen. So there's some good reading for you to get into. So anyway, week one, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Last week, we talked about in Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Amen? Delivered me from one fear? No. Couple of fears? No. All my fears. Everything that you and I face every day of our life. And we face a lot of stuff, a lot of garbage and everything else. You know, I was thinking, I saw the Christian news this last few weeks. I don't know if anybody else saw it, but in Sweden, the government is now coming down and ordering the clergy for same-sex marriages that they have to marry them. They cannot deny them. They cannot turn them away. And so when the authority of the government comes down and dictates to us, I think that, you know, I would say no. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go against the Word of God and throw me in jail. And I started telling Betty that, you know, what happens if all the pastors, all the clergy in Sweden get thrown in jail? And then all the church stands up, you're throwing our pastor into jail, we're going too. Could you imagine all across Canada, if that ruling or that law ever come down, they would not have enough place to hold us all. They would have to say, hey, we've got a revolt on our hands. The Christians are rising up. They're not going against the Word of God. Can you imagine what would happen if we would stand up instead of allowing things to happen? So I believe that you and I need to stand up in this day and age with all the rules and the regulations coming down upon us. We cannot have any of these fears. God delivers us from all of our fears. Amen. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivers me from all my fears. I was reading a C.S. Lewis. Anybody ever heard of that guy? Good writer, since gone to be with the Lord. But he said this, down through the ages, whenever men might need courage, they might cry out, hey, buddy, can you help me? And nothing very significant ever happens. But for the last 1900 years, whenever men have cried out, Lord Jesus, help me, something has happened. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all of his fears. Hallelujah. So next time you get into a fear, don't cry out, hey, buddy, can you help me? Cry out, Jesus, can you help me? Praise God. So this week is number 3 of our summer psalms. Say summer psalm. Summer psalm, summer psalm, summer psalm. Good. I want us to not just have a little bit of a nibble today of the Word or just to kind of whet your appetite. I hope that we get gluttonous for the Word of God. Can I say that? Is that okay? Gluttonous? gluttonous for the Word of God. We're just so hungry. We're so taken into it that we want more and more and more of the Word of God. I believe there's no limit to what God wants to do into our hearts and our lives. There's no limit to what we can receive from. I mean, if you want to place boundaries on God, you go ahead. But I believe that when you come to God, He's limitless. Limitless. Limitless in all the things that can happen. Amen. Here's a free quote for you today. I was reading this in one of my devotions this week. Keeping the personal in our personal relationship with God is our first and foremost important priority. I thought that was pretty cool, so I wanted to share that with you. Is that okay? God is good. And all the time. I love, you know, every church, every place you go, they know that saying. How did it ever get out there like that? It's like a disease, a rampant disease all over the place in churches. God is good. Get the church cranked up, they won't stop. Hallelujah. So we know that. We say it so responsively. We say it so quickly. God is good. And all the time. God is good. All the time. We get it out. How do you know God's good? You know, instead of just saying the words, how do you know? Good question, right? How do you know that God is good? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know God is good? Who told you that God is good? Something else. If you know that God is good, how do you tell somebody else who doesn't know God, that God is good? How do you get across to them? How do you describe that God is good to someone who doesn't know that God is good? And Pierre and Loretta, you were just down east. Did you get any seafood chowder? No. Did you get any lobster? No. Did you smell any? Did you smell any? See any signs? I like when we used to go past Shediac, and they have a big picture of a lobster out there and a big sign. I don't know if you've ever seen that big lobster, and it's kind of, see the sign there of the lobster, and you drive by and all that. You know, and you know, to describe somebody who's never had lobster, what lobster is like, you know, I mean, dipping it in the garlic sauce, and just running down your cheeks and everything like that, you know, just describe to somebody and say, well, what does lobster taste like? It's good. Tastes like chicken? I don't know. You got me stumped there. I don't think it is. I don't think it tastes like chicken at all. Yeah. Tastes like lobster. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I love, you know, over the years, people have come out with all kinds of these commercials on TV where you have to experiment and differentiate between something. You know, butter, margarine, butter, margarine, butter, margarine. You ever heard those ones where they, you know, they get you going back and forth and they, you know, and then they come out at least 10, 15 years ago, the Pepsi Coke challenge, you know, where they have the two of them there, blindfold you, which one is it, which one's better? And they have all this challenge. And I can remember one was from many, many years ago. In fact, I went on YouTube, and I was going to show it this morning, but there was one that I saw a commercial from 1966. Do you ever remember this commercial that said, I bet you can't eat just one? Remember that? That was, oh, Louise. Yeah. Oh, yes. Louise is a chip lover. Yeah. Anyway, they would take, if you ever notice when you open the bag of chips, the aroma that comes out, the aroma that comes out is just, oh, what's that? It's not gluten-free? Okay, I won't eat it then. How many want to take the test this morning? Bet you can't eat just one.
Can't eat just one?
Just one. Just take one. Just take one. You want the biggest thing?
I eat the bag.
Oh,
I want another one.
Just one. Just one.
I want to try
one. You want to try one too? There's no eating in church. Just one. Monique, she says, oh, try me.
Pastor, they're my favorite.
They're your favorite.
Oh, yes. I have two.
Oh, yeah. Just one, though.
No,
just
no,
one.
Thank you.
I thought I'd have a whole bunch of people following me here.
Now, give me the bag.
Oh.
Thank you.
No. Just one.
Just take one. No,
just one, Louise.
Three.
Here, I'll take it out for you.
No.
There, one. One.
I can't just have another one. Two. Oh, just one. That's a teaser.
Did you know how addictive these things are? They're dangerous to have in your house. Lay's potato chips. I'll put them on this side of the pulpit, Louise, so you can't see them, okay? Go ahead, Betty. You can. I didn't want to make people feel bad, so I thought I would just. You can take a bag home with you, okay? Isn't that nice? Hallelujah. Isn't that nice when you come to a church and you have potato chips? Like, can you have more? I mean, you can't eat one. You can't eat one. There's such a, when you think about tasting and everything that goes along with taste that goes into your mouth, a few years ago, will she be okay with a little bag? Here, give this to them. Okay, but no eating in church. No eating in church, Louise. A few years ago, when I was in to see a dentist, they found a stone in, and I don't know if you know much about the taste elements of your mouth, but they found a stone in one of the ducts that brings saliva into the mouth. So that every time, I would eat, only the one saliva duct, and they're both on the bottom of your mouth, they come out. And so anyway, this dentist, when the dentist would go in your mouth, they go all around the side of your gums and feeling around. He found this pit in the bottom of my mouth. And he said, that will take away from the taste when you taste things. So I don't have any problems with tasting things. He says, well, that's because the other side is working overtime in the side of your mouth, and so you need to go in and get it taken out. So I went in, if you're in an operation, it's not too bad, when you are put to out or anything like that. That's cool. But anyway, I went to a doctor that's called Facisholm, something like that. It was for plastic surgery and stuff like that. I don't know. It's a long name. I can't pronounce it. Anyway, they put you back in the chair and no freezing or anything like that. And he brings his scalpel over and holds it in front of your eyes and says, open your mouth. And he goes in and starts cutting on the bottom of your mouth. All of a sudden, I think I'm going to pass out. Anyway, he finally got this little pit out, I guess, from those ducts, food went in there, and it was cramping my style being able to test of food and all that and tasting it. So anyway, he told me, he says, now that I've got that pit out, I want you to go and buy the, you ever seen in those stores, the sourest, gooeyest, ugliest candies that will create the saliva just to get going and get going. So he said, you go buy a package of those weirdest, ugliest, sourest candies that you can find and put them in your mouth so we can keep that flowing. And so I was, all that week, I put on about 10 pounds. Hey, this is good. And the old saliva was flowing and my taste was just right back on par and it was so awesome. Isn't it good to be able to taste things? Is the bag finished? No? Okay. I'm so glad for the ability to taste physically. They say that some people either have no taste ability. I'm glad I've got taste ability. Or they can lose over the years, where you can find that, you know, food just doesn't taste the same as it used to. Have you ever find that with some things? I'm glad I don't have that. I'm glad when I taste things, they are so good. Amen. Don't touch that, Amanda. I went to the dictionary to find out a definition of taste, and it says this: to ascertain the flavor of by taking a little into the mouth. That's dangerous, isn't it? Putting, you know, what does it taste like? Putting something in your mouth and you don't know what it tastes like. Have you ever tasted something that was completely bad, but it's in the mouth? It's not a good place for it when it tastes bad, is it? And I went to the thesaurus about taste. It says craving, desire, hankering, longing, thirst, enthusiasm, gusto, interest, passion, bias, inclination, leaning, tendency, palate. I don't believe there's any greater taste test for us all than we really understand that God wants to bless us from the Word of God and allow us to taste and see the Lord is good. So if you're at Psalm 34, I want you to look at just one verse, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Did you get it? Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and the woman who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Hallelujah. I want to give you some of these translations for it as well. I'm a New King James Version, but just in case there's others here that have a different version. But I don't think there's anything higher, pure, greater in our lives. The flavor, the greatest thing that you and I as humans can spiritually taste in this life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that you and I can ever taste of in this life. Can you say amen? Praise hallelujah or something. Say something this morning. Because once you've tasted, isn't it a desire to give it away? I mean, if you've tasted something good like potato chips, some people hoard their potato chips, but other people like to give them away. And do you hoard your potato chips, Louise? No, okay, good. But you hide them, okay. Okay, they don't hoard them, they hide them. Some people give them away, and I believe that when we find faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a great desire, and it's because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I believe there's a great desire that we want to give him away. Every time, you know, Betty gets into the kitchen, starts cooking, and does all this weird and wild stuff that, you know, powder's all over the place. It's on the cupboards, flowers here, flowers there, and everything else. And I have to go out there and say, Betty, I can hardly open the cupboards without the stickiness getting all over my hand. But she really gets into it. She is a top-of-the-line cook. I don't care about how cleanly the kitchen is at that time. I like it clean afterwards. But she gets into the kitchen. She gets going, and she does, like, I just tried something new. And here's the words that she will say to me, can you come here and try it and taste it and see if it's okay? So I'm her guinea pig a lot of times. She calls me to the kitchen and says, come out here. Just taste this. And never once have I ever tasted something bad. Never once. Can you remember? Like, I just usually, my next line is there another square there? Is there another cookie? Is there another piece? See, when I look back in the Old Testament, we're looking at Psalm 34, and this is David. David takes his wonderful experiences, his glorious moments. Everybody has those, don't you? Those glorious moments, like cooking in the kitchen or anything like that, that he has had in the Lord. He takes all of his experiences in the Lord. You see, David has a multitude of experiences. Read the Psalms sometime and you'll see all the things that David has gone through, whether good and bad and everything else. He's been through it all. He takes all those experiences in the Lord and looks at others around him in this cave at Adullam. Here he is standing before these 400 people. For those who've been on vacation, this is where David is. He's in the cave at Adullam. He's got 400 ragtag soldiers that have decided to leave King Saul and come and follow after David. There he is right there in that cave at this very Adullam place, and he's very straightforward, and he looks at all these guys and says, here, taste this. Taste this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You see, there is nothing forced for anyone to come to the Lord. I don't believe in forcing people to come to Jesus. You've got to have a hankering to. You've got to have a desire. You've got to see something in me that is good that you want. You've got to see something that is in other Christians that you desire. And I will not come up and twist your arm and say, you've got to accept Jesus before you leave this church or else. No. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm not going to force anybody to come to Jesus. There's no arm twisting, no coercion, no pressure. We all have a free will to either taste and see that God is good, or as some people say, well, maybe another time. They put off the taste. They don't want a taste of the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Hopefully they will one day. Hopefully our families will taste and see one day that the Lord is good. If we have unsaved loved ones, and I'm sure that we have many in our family that don't know Jesus Christ, we're praying that one day they will taste and see that the Lord is good. See, I've found that one of the biggest questions people all over the world seem to struggle with is God's existence. Is God real? Where can I find him if he is real? I mean, they go through all these things, and the questions they sometimes formulate, is God real? If God exists, then why doesn't he give us more evidence of himself? Why doesn't he just show himself once and for all to everyone and be done with it so that we will know God is real, that God is all over this planet? People need to know. They need to see him. That's why they say those things. And they say, if God does exist, what are the implications for my life? Ever heard that? If God is real, what does that mean for me? I've heard so many times when people say, you know, if I get saved, will I have to stop drinking? Will I have to stop smoking? Will I have to stop doing all the fun stuff I do in this life? And I would say, I'm not going to go against all that stuff that you've got. Just get Jesus. Worry about the baggage later on. Just get Jesus. You know, see, I believe that you got to catch a fish before you can clean them. Amen? And so I believe that, you know, you and I, we've got to get Jesus into the heart. I know for me, when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of things took a few years, a few months, a few weeks, whatever, but I got cleaned up. I started getting closer to God. The deeper I dug in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more he took those things away from me that weren't appropriate for me to have in my life. That's what he does. So I don't tell anybody to stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this, but do this. Accept Jesus Christ in your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to start working on you and start showing you the things that you need to do. That's the implication of your life that you need. And these are all, as I think of the questions that people ask, they're all questions I believe that many people are wrestling with out there. And we as Christians know God is good. We know God is good. God is good all the time. We know he's real. We know he's coming back. We know that. We know we love to worship him. We know we love coming to church. We know we love to sing songs. We love to do all those things. But the world doesn't. They don't know those things. You know, have you seen that movie, God's Not Dead? That, if you haven't seen that movie, you've got to see it. It is a powerful movie. And there's also another one, God's Not Dead, Part 2. But it's really neat the way it starts out with this college student attending a philosophy class at university, which started with a discussion about God's existence. And the professor stands up in the first of the class to clear things up about God before digging into the subject of philosophy in his class. And so he presents the following logic. And if you've seen the movie, you'll remember this, but he starts out like this. He says, has anyone in this class heard God? And nobody said anything. Has anyone in this class ever touched God? Nobody says anything. Has anyone in this class ever seen God? Nobody says anything. So he said, well, because of all those things, probably and most likely, and I proved it right now, because you haven't seen, heard, touched, or anything else about God, there is no God. Quite a philosophy class, isn't it? But I like the boy in the movie, the fellow who was taking the philosophy class. He was sitting there, and he was a Christian boy, very squirming in his chair, kind of really feeling what was going on. But this guy just said there's no God, the philosophy teacher. And then he asked permission to stand up and talk. Excuse me. Got to get the frog out of my throat. So this student stands up and asks permission to reply. So this is what he says to the teacher, because he's the teacher's curious to hear what this bold student has to say, because he's standing up right after the teacher said that there is no God. So he says, has anyone in this class ever hurt our professor's brain? Silence in the class. Has anyone in class ever touched our professor's brain? Silence in the class. Has anyone in this class ever seen our professor's brain? So nobody says anything. So then, according to our professor's logic, it must be true that our professor has no brain. That was a good movie. You ought to see it. It's really good. You see, I believe that we're living in a world that is slipping further and further and further away from God. I'm really believing with Paul when he told to Timothy, we are living in perilous times. We're living in troublesome times. We're living in terrible times. And in my lifetime that I've lived, like in the last 10, 20 years, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I look at our society right now that they're talking about a child born. You don't have to name the gender. You know, just leave it genderless. Just leave it like that until they decide what they want to be. Like, my goodness, what's happening to our world? What's happening with logic? What's happening to good old common sense about what people believe? Like, where's all this stuff coming from? And I seem to want to point fingers at this person, that person, but I believe the old enemy is tearing down the walls of God. God created man and woman, and so the devil is pulling it down. He's pulling down the creation. He's pulling down. He's bringing lies in, and people are soaking it up. If they don't have never tasted and seeing that the Lord is good, they're looking for something else. They're looking for another taste. And all over our world, we're seeing all these things happen. And it's a terrible, terrible day that you and I are living in. I read an article, and it was in a church leader this week. I don't know if you saw this, Pierre, or not, but why people believe all roads lead to heaven. And that's basically what our society is like right now. And I've got this article, and I have photocopied. I didn't want to give it to you all this morning. It's about 3 pages long. I made up 10 copies of it here. And it's the guy presents James Emery White, Why People Believe All Roads Lead to Heaven. I mean, we meet them all the time. Why do you think your religion's so good? Why do you think yours is the only way? Why do you think Jesus is the only way? And they always say these. I believe all religions are good, and everybody's going to heaven. They get that across to us in so many words. So this is a good article for you to take and read. And so I've got it on my computer. I've got it, but I've got 10 copies of there. First 10 people back to shake Betty's hand at the end of the service will get those copies, okay? So, man, there's going to be a rampage going out of church today. Don't worry, if you didn't get a copy, we'll get you one. But it's a good article, and I wanted to get that across to you. So many of the logic of the people around us at all churches, all cults, everybody's good. Somehow we've got good in us, and they're going around looking for it. But that's not what our Lord Jesus Christ said, that all religions are heading for heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6 is a powerful verse. And I always take that to people who would say all roads lead to heaven. I would say, Jesus said this, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. You know, I'm not narrow-minded. Jesus showed us the narrow way. And so I accept the narrow way. I've tasted and seen that God is good. And I always tell people, you know, and it's too bad that our country of Canada is turning around, but I always tell them there's always proof in the pudding. I just want to let you know that everywhere where Jesus Christ is named and held up high, blessings fall. You look at the country of Canada, the way it started. You look at the United States, the way it started. Universities, Harvard, Oxford, all these places, they started with the Word of God. They're turning away from those things. But when they had the Word of God, their blessings were falling. Everywhere the name of Jesus Christ is held high, the Word of God is presented, blessings begin to fall. You bring Jesus Christ into your home, and I guarantee you blessings will begin to fall. Doesn't matter if there's 6 people that aren't saved in your household. You bring Jesus in. You start praying for your home. Blessings are going to start falling on your home. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 sometime for a woman to stay with her husband. You stay there because blessings will begin to fall, even though you and your husband have these differences and everything else. You stay there and you remain with him, blessings will fall. And I believe that you and I need to get to that place of understanding that when we stand in the gap for people around us, blessings are going to fall. Amen? So that's what we're up against. All these people around us that believe that every road leads to heaven. Amen? But you and I know differently. Many people out there in the science and philosophy realms are not helping. You know, every time I turn on the news, it seems like a guy by the name of Richard Dawkins is on there describing something, or they're purporting one of his books, and all the atheistic evangelists out there are getting all this stuff across. Some of the books that are written out there that people are soaking up and reading as God is not great, the God delusion, and letters to a Christian nation, all tearing down the things of God, going against the word of God, things all around us. And people are soaking this up. If they're mad at God, if they don't believe in God, they'll read this and they'll say, yeah, I believe that way too. You know, so what do we do as Christians? How do we respond to all this stuff against God? What do we tell those around us about the existence of God? How about the truth? Just tell them the truth. Amen. You know, how shall we overcome? By the word of our testimony and the blood of our Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. That's how we're going to overcome. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you want to get people free, get them to know the truth. And it's absolutely crucial to the life of many lost around us for us believers to be able to give a good, sound, well-reasoned defense of why God is good. Amen? We've got to practice getting rid of the dribble and the drabble coming out of our mouth and being ashamed of Jesus Christ. We stand there and say, well, I don't know. I just go to church and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. You want to know why I believe in Jesus? You have a good answer. That's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you. Ask for a reason, for the hope that is in you. Have that good reason. Practice it. Get it deep in your heart. It's like that bracelet Betty's got. Somebody asked you about that. You've got all the answers down, haven't you? What's it say on the bracelet? What if?
What if there is a God who loves you?
What if there is a God who loves you? And people say, what does that mean? Betty's got it all down. She's all ready to lead them right on. She's like a hungry warrior for Jesus Christ. If somebody's going to ask her, she's got it. Amen? So be like a hungry warrior. That just be ready. Like somebody says, you go to church? Do I go to church? Man, do I go to church? Church comes to me. Church is filled with people who believe. You know, I go to church and we're excited there and we just praise God. We have a great time. Pastor is so great. I love him. He's a good looking guy. You know, no, leave out the last part, okay. But I enjoy listening to people's personal testimonies. How God has worked in them and how God worked in their life and kind of spoon-fed them and showed them and revealed things to them and brought them along. And isn't that wonderful how God does things? Can you remember back in your unsaved days? Like, you know, it just didn't happen like that. He was working on you. He was showing you things. He was digging into your heart. He's bringing the Son in there. He's bringing the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the cross. And you heard things and people were speaking to you. And you went to church and you were feeling these feelings. And the Spirit of God was moving in your life. Isn't it great? And I love listening to people's personal testimonies about how God has touched them and brought them to that place of realizing that God is real and God is good. Amen. The way that David in the cave at Adullam presented his case to all of his followers there was very simply put. And it's called David's personal testimony. Isn't that great? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. David wrote this psalm, yet he was in very difficult circumstances. If we can say in our difficult circumstances that God is good, taste and see that God is good. If we can say that, then we've got something that has faith in God. See, some Christians feel that Christianity has no joy. You know, that you, when you come to Jesus, you have no more joy. I found so much joy in Jesus. You know, and it's great because I can remember many days I didn't know how I woke up in the morning or where I'd be when I woke up. But I'm so grateful that I have joy in Jesus and he's given me a smile on my face, joy in my heart, blessed me so much, wonderful wife, wonderful kids, wonderful grandkids, wonderful church, you know, blessed family of God. I thank God for all the things that I have in Jesus Christ. So I would never have had these things if I didn't know Jesus. So I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed. God is good. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I've walked in that wonderful way. Hallelujah. But some Christians feel like, you know, well, I'm glad for you. But they think that, you know, to be a Christian, you got to be a sourpuss or something like that. I don't know what it is. From what I see in God's word, laughter doeth good like a medicine. Amen. That's what he prescribed for us, Dr. Jesus. And I believe that from experience, God wants his people to be happy and joyous and dancing and know the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. There's no room for long-faced Christians. Just no room. Amen. There's no room. I mean, how could you ever lead to somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ with a long, drawn-out face? Well, you know, I went to church last week, yeah. Yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus, 50 years ago. Yeah, it's okay. It's cool. How can you ever lead somebody to Jesus like that with an attitude? They've got to see, when you mention the name of Jesus, our light should go on. Did somebody ask about Jesus? Bing! Like that's when the Spirit of God should just lift us up in that moment. And we say, you want to know about Jesus? He's changed my life. Changed my life. I mean, when the people are there, they're not living for Jesus or have this long expression on their face. They give off the appearance that they are enduring something. They're just suffering through Christianity. They're just kind of going through it. Oh, well, I hope to make it. Maybe one of these days Jesus will come back. I'll make it. It's like they're enduring something. I don't know what it is. I'm enjoying something here. I'm enjoying my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Isn't this life that Jesus gave us made to enjoy? No, I don't like the news. I don't like what the media says. I don't know what's going on in the world, but I like what's going on in here. And I've got the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's my strength. See, Christ has provided many blessings to enjoy. There are basic things that we need to get into our hearts for Christianity, for that Christian joy and the happiness and the contentment. And David knew the secret and has shared it with everyone. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste, see, good. Taste, see, good. Taste, see, good. Taste, see. Oh, sorry, I just... Tasting is an interesting word. Taste means this. This is my attempt at seeking what that is like. Tasting is my attempt to see what this is like. I wouldn't say, Betty, like... I don't know, I'm not sure about this. You go ahead and taste it. I'm not too sure. If you vomit, then it's kind of like, we want somebody else to go through just in case it's poison. If they drop dead, then I won't eat it. No. Tasting is my attempt at finding out something for me. That's what tasting is about. Seeing is something interesting because it's my receiving after the taste test that this is different from anything I've ever tasted before. I see this is good. I realize that when I made the attempt to find out, I see that this, and I understand and I perceive that this is good. And so when I get to the part of being blessed, I am blessed. Why am I blessed? Because the Lord is good, because it's really finding out who He is and going deeper in the Word of God. Why am I blessed? Because I believe that anyone who runs after God will be blessed. Amen. Why am I blessed? Because of complete faith in the one who sustains me every day of my life. I am so blessed. Every day I live for Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I'm so blessed. So how are your taste buds today, spiritually speaking? How are your taste buds? Are you blessed? Have you tasted and seen that the Lord is good? They say taste comes from taste buds, which are in their teeth and the bottom of the mouth and the tongue and the tip of the tongue and all those kinds of things. Tasting is a spiritual experience. Tasting is a spiritual experience. It's a trusting. It's a slow eating. It's a digesting. It's a taking in. It's putting more in. It's drinking some of that milk. And I like the way the Word of God describes it. It's coming and getting some little bit of milk. Just, well, that's good stuff. Get a little bit of milk. Then you know, as little children, you have to start mixing pablum. Betty and I, when we were raising our two boys, we decided that, milk, 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 milk. Well, like, when do they get on to food? Like, we're kind of worried about them, and the doctor says, wait 6 months. 6 months before they get on to any solid food? I mean, a lot of pediatricians will tell you that these days. Wait 6 months. And I went and told my mom that, my mom who raised four kids, and Betty's mom who raised 13 kids. Oh, don't wait for 6 months. That's ridiculous what the doctor's saying. Don't wait. So anyway, about 2 or 3 months down the road, 4 months, somewhere around there, we started taking a little bit of pablum, mixing it in there. So it's a little thicker. And he puts it in his mouth. You ever watch the baby for the first time? They put a little bit of solid in there. It's, oh, Betty, they're dying, they're dying. Take that stuff out. But all of a sudden, they just start liking, they start eating more. The next day, you add a little bit more pablum in there. A little bit more pablum. And the first time you pull out a steak, you take off a little chunk there, and you try to keep it really small, but then put it in there, choking away on this chunk of meat. But that's the way God is in tasting. He gives us a little bit of milk. And you come to church and you get it deeper into the Word of God, and he starts putting a little bit of pablum in there and the oatmeal and stuff like that. So you get a little thicker in there because you're starting to gain faith now, more potato chips. You know, and you're starting to get to the place where you can handle that, and you start going to a place where you. I love when people come into the church and say, "Pastor, meat, give me meat. I'm now carnivorous." You know, where people come into church and they want more meat. Isn't that good? Because tasting is examining. It's a spiritual experience. Tasting is investigating about what this is. Tasting is observing what is before me, what I've heard, what I've read, what I've seen. I want the experience. And many people need proof of God. When Jesus was risen from the grave, many people needed proof that he was, even Thomas needed to have proof that Jesus was risen from the grave. I won't believe until I put my hand in his nail prints and the side, and I won't believe. And that's why we're told in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, and I love this verse. In fact, I can see a sermon series coming for the fall out of Acts chapter 1, okay? Because I've been into Acts chapter 1, and this is kind of a neat chapter, okay? Prior to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But this is where Jesus, it says in verse 3, he presented himself alive after his suffering to those people around him. Now listen to these next words. By many infallible proofs. Many infallible proofs. You know what an infallible proof is? You can't go against it. I mean, you saw, you heard, it was there. You put your fingers in the nail prints, everything else. Infallible proofs means you can't disrepute it. You can't go against what you saw. Many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So tasting is putting our faith to the test. Tasting is putting our faith to test. When you do, you will see that the Lord is good. People who criticize us and write us off as skeptical, or they're skeptical of the Bible, have never tried the faith. I always tell people, you've never dug in, have you? That's why you're against God. That's why you're against the Bible. You've never tried it. You've never tried it. So how can you go against something you've never tried? How can you say something is bitter if you've never tasted it? How can you say something is bad for you if you've never experimented with it and everything else? Tasting all boils down to our personal experience. I can tell you on each Sunday, I can stand up here every Sunday and I can preach to you. I can testify about how good God is, but that will never, ever save you. You can listen to me for every day of your life. You can listen to me till the cows come home, but that will not save you. You have got to make a taste test on your own. You have got to try and see that the Lord is good. You've got to sample the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to bite off and chew into the Word of God. You've got to experiment. You've got to examine. You've got to investigate. I can do all I can up here. I could just lead you around and tell you how to do it. But you've got to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? I don't believe that David was telling others to taste of the Lord to see if we like him or not. We've got to get that out of our minds when we witness to somebody. We're not giving Jesus to see if they'll like him or not. We're giving Jesus to them so they will like him. So they will know that God is good. They will know God is good. Tasting one potato chip is not enough. Right? For any of the potato chip lovers, most want to devour the bag of chips. The ones I've seen anyway in our church. And when we truly begin tasting of the Lord, there's no stopping the hunger pain for Jesus. There is no stopping the hunger pain for more and more of God. You want God's blessing, you want God's promises fulfilled in your life, then you got to dig deeper, you got to climb higher, you got to go more. The old saying, no pain, no gain. You want more of God, you got to get up in the morning and read the Word of God. You want more of God, you got to begin to start praying. Get on your knees. Get before God. You've got to do everything that you know that these are the things. I mean, if you're going to have your kids raise kids and you're going to say, well, I want them to have a good education, but keep them home from school, like it's not going to work. A lot of people think that, well, I'm a good Christian. Well, when did you go to church last? Well, what was that program we ever heard the other day? He's an Easter Christian. Yeah, goes to church on Easter. Like, how can you grow like that? You want to grow, you got to do things, everything around it. Why did Jesus have the church? Why did Jesus build the church? So that people come in, they get saved, they get discipled, they get fed, they get learning in the Word of God. They get with the family of God. I love my family. We were talking yesterday with Jeff and Debbie, like there's no family like the family of God. This is our family. I mean, we see our family twice a year. Our kids are twice a year. We see our grandkids twice a year. But this is a family. This is my family. This is where I come. This is where we weep together, cry together, and everything else. We have joy together. We have marriages, funerals, baptisms. We have all kinds of stuff, but we're together in this. We go through the hurts. We go through the joys. We go through the ups, the downs, and everything else. But we're with each other. This is family. This is family. I don't know how somebody can do without family of God. I don't know how they can do it. I just love the family of God and everything else. You see, when I look at experience means that when Monday rolls around, I've got Jesus. Isn't that great? Experience means that when Tuesday dawns in our week, I've got Jesus. When Wednesday hits like a flood, and we know sometimes Wednesdays can be pretty bad in the middle of the week, I know that I've got Jesus. When Thursday slaps me in the face, all I know is that I've got Jesus. When Friday fries me to the limit, you ever been there? When Friday comes in and fries me to the limit, all I know is that I've got my experience and I've got Jesus. And when Saturday comes along and pushes me to the limits of everything I've got in my very soul and sinew, all I know is that when I stand on Saturday and I'm getting ready for Sunday, because I know Friday is there, but Sunday's coming, and Saturday comes in and just pushes me to the limits, all I know is that when I come here on Sunday, I've got Jesus. And He's my faith and He's my strength. Hallelujah. When Sunday rolls around, the devil tells me on Sunday mornings, don't get out of bed. Call somebody else and have them preach a sermon. Or you may be going through it. Just stay in bed a little longer, a little more shut-eye. Don't worry. They'll wait for your church. And then you start lying there and you miss church because you want a little more shut-eye. And the devil says, ha-ha-ha, stay, do it again next Sunday. Let's try to just sleep in a little bit longer. Two Sundays go by and you've felt it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm staying in bed. I tell you, we need to get out of that physical bed. We need to rise up and say, devil, you're not lying to me anymore. I'm going to start preaching. I'm going to sleep living for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've experienced Him, and I know that God is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Hallelujah. How about you? You see, you need your fill of some more tasting. We all need more tasting. Isn't that right? We need more experience in Jesus. You know, it's when we tell others who don't know Jesus to taste and see, does that mean to check out God's credentials? No, taste and see that God is good. Instead, it's an invitation. Try this. I know you'll like Him. You ever heard that? Try this. I know you'll like Him. I know you'll like Him. And you'll continue to like Him. Because David is showing us something here of life that is consistent in God. It's consistent. Tasting is consistent every day. I mean, you can't just have a taste one day. 40 years ago, I got saved. No. Taste them today. Taste Him today. Amen? He started in Psalm 34 by stating, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Does that mean that He just, 40 years ago I praised Him? No, at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. See, there's two key words for consistency here. At all times and continually. At all times and continually. At all times and continually. Praise is not just for Sunday or when we feel like it. It's for all times, and it's for continuous times. It never stops. It never stops. Second thing, David reminds us that verse 4 says, when he sought the Lord, knowing that God hears him, he will deliver from all his fears. Not one fear, not a couple of fears, but all his fears. God is consistent, and we've got to be consistent too. Keep tasting. Keep driving, giving your fears to God. Keep giving everything that troubles you to God. Don't stop. Just keep giving it to God. And for tasting, thank God that we found Jesus. Thank God that we found Jesus. God is good. Don't let your palate go dry. Don't let your palate go dry. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't let the tongue get depressed and down and discouraged and lips tight so that we can't rise each day and taste the Lord that He is good. Amen? Keep things going in our life. You see, David said over in Psalm 103, and I love this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Hallelujah. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases, who redeems you, your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Hallelujah. David was experience driven. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm more of, you know, I have to document it and I have to write it down. And that's good. That's why we have the Bible. It's documented already for us. And a lot of people can read the Bible and say, well, I read the Bible, nothing happened. That's it. You need to taste and see. You need to taste and see. A lot of people can quote scripture. A lot of TV programs, they bring something in good. Alcoholics Anonymous, they just quote the Lord's Prayer and they think they're okay. Masons, they put a scripture in somewhere and they think they're okay. Government, our city council still has the Lord's Prayer at the first. They think they're okay. A lot of people think they're okay because they put a nugget of truth and there's something else. That's not what it's about. It's tasting and seeing. See, the experience will change you. The experience will change you. And we need that. We need more and more experiences in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that experiences develop us. Experiences develop us. It takes us deeper in the Word. It no longer becomes just Word, but the Word that is alive in us. So we need experiences in the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you last week that there was a book by William Hendricks, Revealing Stories, Why People Are Leaving the Church. And they took a survey asking people why they no longer attended church. And the most common reason given for leaving the church was that the church did not provide for them an opportunity to meet with God. In other words, they didn't have any experience. They came in and they went through all the stuff that many boring churches have in them. And I've been in boring churches, I tell you. In other words, they came hoping to experience something in God but didn't get it in that church. Hendricks said in the conclusion, apparently it doesn't matter if the service is entertaining. When interaction with God is absent, eventually the church loses its appeal. Bottom line, when people do not connect with God in some way, there is frustration and emptiness, and they begin to drift away. Whoops. Let's see if I can go back there. There. Don't just read the Word. Be the Word. Okay? That came to me yesterday. I didn't read it anywhere. I just thought I'd put it down there for you. Don't just read the Word. Be the Word. Be the Word. Be the Word. Hallelujah. Keep tasting. Keep tasting. We as a church, we've got to be in the experiences of God. Experiences are what drive us deeper in the Lord. The experiences are the things that we give testimony about. When we are healed, when we're in God and He gives us an answer and God speaks to us in the deep parts of our life and it just shows us things. And you know, I was sitting in the prayer room this morning and just praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden one word came to me. One word. Surprise. And you think, wow, that's nice, Pastor. I'm glad you were in the prayer room and you got a surprise. No. And I said, Lord, what does this mean? Like, surprise. And it's like, God wants us. Have you ever had a surprise party for somebody? Have you ever, you know, kids having a birthday party and you do something and they don't know anything about it and they come and you say, surprise! You ever seen those where people just jump up and say surprise and they get them caught off guard and they don't know that they're having a surprise party and all that? And it's like, you know, God, what does this mean? He says, this is the way I want you to come to church. I want you to come to church just waiting, like you're, what are they doing? What's going to happen? It's like God says, surprise, 15 people got saved today. Surprise, 3 people got filled with the Holy Spirit. Surprise, they got healed of cancer. Surprise, you know, and God just blesses and touches us and ministers to us. And I say, God, go ahead, give us some surprises in church. Then go ahead, just flow it onto us, just pour it onto us. Give us some surprises. Every Sunday we gather together because we need those kinds of experiences. That's what draws us back to time and time and time again to the heart of God, is those experiences in Him and the blessings in Him and the Word of God from Him and the blessings and the nuggets that He pours into our life. We need those experiences in the Lord Jesus Christ. They drive us and they keep us and they let us flow in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Would the worship team come, please, this morning? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I just long for more experiences in God. I long for them. You know, if I haven't had an experience in God, then something's going wrong. You know, God, I need something. I need more. More. Give me more, God. Take me deeper. Allow something to happen in my life today that's just going to be extreme and blessing. Amen? So keep tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Just don't taste them once. Keep tasting them. Tasting and tasting. Ask Him for the experiences. Ask Him for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you have filled with the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and you haven't spoken in tongues since, then my goodness, you should be saying, God, I need to get back to the fire. I need to get back to the place of experiencing you in a deeper way. I'm not satisfied with last week's experience or last year's experience. I need something today. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Maybe you're here this morning. You're here this morning and you need something in God. I don't know what it is. That's between you and Holy Spirit. But you need something this morning. You need something. If you need a gush of water, ask Him for a gush of water. If you need just a couple of drops to refresh you, just ask for Him. He's got the supply. He's the supplier of everything that you and I have got in this life. He gives us the joy. He gives us the happiness. He gives us the contentment. He gives us a life that is just such a blessing. He gives everything. He's the giver of good gifts. He pours out upon us. He loves to bless us. He's a good Father. He's a good, 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 good Father. He loves to pour into our lives. He loves to pour into our families. He hears our prayers. He hears all those things going into our heart. Thank you, Father, this morning, Lord, that you know where we are, what's going on in our life. You know if people here this morning, if they're dry, they need an experience. Father, you know what people are going through right now. You know perhaps there's torment in their spirit. Perhaps there's torment in their physical makeup, Lord. Perhaps there's things going on right now. They need an experience. God, I'm praying this morning, if there's something going on in the physical body, give them a surprise of a healing this morning. Lord, give them a healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, let them not walk out of church the same way, Lord. If they come in on crutches, let them walk out and running, Lord God. Whatever happens, Lord, you don't want to stunt our growth or keep us back or limit our faith. But God, you want us to open up the heavens. You want us to open up and reach out to you, Lord God, because you want to give us experiences. So I'm asking right now, Lord God, whatever it could be, Lord, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial. God, give us surprise this morning, Lord God, that somebody will know that they're receiving from God because you want to give experiences today. So go ahead, do it right now, Lord. Do it right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Yes.
I want to say something.
And I wanted to get you the microphone.
No, not necessary. Yeah.
Sure.
You know, I have in my heart the need of need somebody. I know the Lord will do it. I thought about Mr. Harmony in the back. I love that man. He's always faithful. Mm-hmm. But he needs to be healed. And I believe that the Lord will heal him.
Amen.
Only him. Only Jesus can do that for
Praise
him.
Praise God.
Then if you want to join with us, everybody.
Yes.
And believe that
Amen.
Jesus is the answer for Mr. Harmony.
Amen.
He will get out from the church this morning healed.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Then I only believe.
Praise God. We only believe. Hallelujah. So if you need something this morning, don't be bashful. Pentecostal church, we pray for one another. We believe in miracles. We believe that God was going to do great things. So if you're expecting, if you're hungry, if you need an experience, here's your shot at it. Just come right up here and say, God, I want an experience. I want something this morning. I want to go into you, Lord, and just feel the presence of Jesus and just soak up what he wants to do in your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get hungry. Taste and see. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trading our sickness. Trading our sorrow. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Taste and see. Taste and see. God is good. God is good. Taste and see. Hallelujah. Believe this morning. Hallelujah. Believe this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I'm trading my soul.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I'm trading my shame.
Shakara baba shakara namashi. Yalalalamasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lay it down, Lord. Lay it down. Laying every emotion, every sickness, every disease. Laying it down. Laying it down. Laying it down. Oh, God, we want to experience you this morning. Bring a surprise, God. Bring a surprise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, shut up. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 Lord. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah.
I'm trading the sorrows.
No more. No more. No more. No more. No more mini strokes. No more falling down. Nothing like that. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord.
Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Come on, experience it. Taste and see. He's good. He's good. Lord is good. Hallelujah. Believe, believe this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, shut up, shut up, shut up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For His promise will endure. His joy is going to be my strength.
It's going to be my strength. Hallelujah.
Though the sorrow may last for the night, the joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows.
Yes.
I'm trading my sorrows.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I notice that some are dancing here, and that's fun. Others look. In other words, you need an experience. You need an experience. You need to have something in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to get your feet going. You need to get excited. Maybe you need to get out of that rut of dull and boring faith. Maybe you just need to say, God, give me something this morning, the joy of the Lord. Set my feet a dancing. Come on, come on. Let's sing it again. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trading my sorrow.
I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down in the joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord.
Down for the joy of the Lord. I feel like I'm blessed. To me, the altar experience is a great time to be in the Lord. It's where we come and we just don't hear the word, but we be the word. We be the word. Be the word. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us so many examples in the Word of God. So many people enjoyed you and experiences in you. Just were thoroughly blessed in all that you did in their lives. God, help us to be like that. Will we just every day just live just knowing that God wants to bless us so much. You're a good, good Father. And so, God, as we leave church today, Lord, we're going with an experience. We felt something here this morning. We received something from you. We gathered some and gleaned from the field of God's blessings. And so, God, this is not for us just to keep. But when we go out of this building, Lord, somebody will say, how was church? Wow. Wow. Have we got words for them, Lord? So we thank you, Lord. As we go, give us a real awesome week in you, Jesus. We love you so much. Give us everyday experiences, Lord, that will get us closer and closer to your heart. For we ask all these things through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. 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 Bless you. Bless you.